Good evening, God bless. Welcome to our next session of We Are Different. Our topic tonight is merciful. It says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's a, you know, all of the Beatitudes are the characteristics that we see with God and with Jesus. They're the traits that our God and our Lord have and that we want to emulate in our lives. The NASB has this as this verse here that is, I'm sorry, this verse that's so important for us to understand about God, the one we keep on going back to in our relationship with God, is where he first made himself known to Moses. He said, Yahweh passed by in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, says, Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, steadfast love, and faithfulness. You see, there's a little bit of a difference between the two. The Hebrew word in the NASB, they translated compassion, and in the ESV, they translate that same Hebrew word, merciful. And there is this same inconsistency with pretty much all of the English Bibles. Some of them have, I think the King James has mercy. They all have either compassion or mercy. And it's the same way in the Hebrew, that's the Hebrew, in the Greek New Testament, it's the same way that these words are kind of used interchangeably. However, I'm not real confident of how they understood it in Hebrew or Greek. I do know what these words mean to us in English. The word from an English dictionary, mercy typically signifies the kindness and forgiveness extended to someone, especially when there is power to punish or harm. In other words, the guilty party is standing before the judge and he says to the judge who's about to pass his sentence, he says, have mercy on me. I don't deserve this. Please have mercy on me. It involves a compassionate response to those who are in distress, often highlighting forgiveness and leniency. Now, the word compassion is defined as a feeling and concern for others that inspires assistance. It describes someone who is empathetic, understanding, and caring towards others, suffering, or misfortune. These concepts, as you know, you can see there's a little bit of a difference, but they're closely aligned and often indistinguishable in the New Testament translations. So what we're talking about in this session, in this sixth session, is being merciful. Because what it says in Matthew, this beatitude is, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In this record is when Jesus is confronted by the lawyer, and the lawyer asks him, what is the great commandment? And Jesus and him dialogue back and forth, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the lawyer, looking to justify himself, asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus' response is in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, where he says, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Instead of going and helping the man, he went to the other side of the road. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite, who was also a temple worker, you know, a religious person, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and then brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay. So then Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell in the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So you see, in the when Jesus said it, he said, they translated that word compassion, it's the same word. And then when the man repeated it, he said, mercy. So again, it's kind of ironic that Jesus, I don't know if it was ironic, it's inspired, that Jesus would use 2 religious people that weren't compassionate, weren't merciful. And then the least likely person, the Samaritans who were at odds with the Israelites, that this man would be the one that not only got involved and helped him, but he made sure that he was helped in the future. That is the way we want to be. We want to be like the Samaritan. You know, a significant indicator that we are not walking with God as we should be is when we feel annoyed or imposed upon when faced with helping someone in need. I think, you know, initially you might feel that way. You know, you see somebody that has a need, you got to get involved, it's going to take your time, your energy, your money. But you know you're not doing well if when someone has a need, you're annoyed or imposed upon. Another gauge is when we are blind or have a hardened heart that prevents us from seeing the obvious need that someone else may have. In such times, self-interest is taking precedence over a Christ-centered way of thinking. Again, we want to be like Christ. We want to be like God. We want to be merciful so that when someone is in need, that we're willing to get involved in helping. Jesus lived, obviously, just like the Good Samaritan. Jesus was a very, very merciful individual. There's one record in the scriptures, of many records in the Gospels, that tells of a time where Jesus was 3 days ministering to people. He's there and there's, you know, there's thousands of people there. And you know how it is when there's an accident on the side of the road, all the traffic slows down because everybody's so nosy and they want to see what happened. Well, can you imagine what it was like when Jesus healed somebody, how the crowds would have gravitated to him? He's healing people. And then, you know, everybody. So there's literally thousands of people there. And Jesus is ministering to all of them. And the way that Jesus ministered is he put his hands on one person at a time. He didn't do group healings. He did one person at a time. He did this for 3 days. Can you imagine how exhausted he would have been after expending so much energy and power? And yet he says to his disciples, feed the people that are here. They've been here with me for 3 days. Surely they're hungry. And you know how this record went. Jesus said, I feel compassion for the people because they have been with me 3 days without eating. Now, having nothing to eat, so he made sure that they were taken care of. That is an extraordinary example of compassion. You know, obviously giving way beyond what was necessary after healing all these people, being concerned about something that is relatively insignificant in comparison to the great healings. But that's our Lord. He was a compassionate individual. Apparently, people in Jesus' day who were expecting the Messiah, they understood that the Messiah was going to be the Son of David and that he would come with mercy. And the reason I say that, again, let me say it again. In Jesus' time, the people were expecting the Messiah to come as the Son of David and that he would come with mercy. And the reason I say that is because it says in Matthew chapter 9, the 2 blind men came to Jesus, and what they said to him is, have mercy on us, Son of David. Then the father of the lunatic son, remember he came and Jesus wasn't there, and he asked the disciples to minister to him, and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, And when the man saw Jesus, he said to him, Son of David, have mercy on my son, who was so badly injured. And then two more blind men, same thing. Blind Bartimaeus, same thing. My son of David, have mercy on me. The 10 leprous men, the 10 that came to Jesus, and again, they said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you remember, they on their way to the temple or wherever Jesus told them to go, they were all healed. The one guy came back and the other 10 didn't. Jesus had mercy on all of them. What all of these records indicate to me is that every healing and deliverance Jesus performed was the result of God's grace and mercy on people. It was not because of the merit of the afflicted people. Jesus never, not once did Jesus ask these people who were seeking for help if they were good. Have you been faithful to God? Have you been a good person? There was no requirement for them to get the healing. Nor did he ever say to them, from henceforth I expect you to be obedient and that I would be your Lord. He didn't say that. There's no record that I'm aware of that Jesus required people to be a certain way to receive the healing, or he demanded that they follow him afterwards. As a matter of fact, after he healed those 10 men, and the 9 of them didn't even come back to give him thanks. The one did. So he didn't heal them because of what they were gonna do, because they didn't do what was right. And quite often Jesus would say to somebody who he healed, he'd say to him, don't go and tell anybody. And then they would leave and tell everybody. You know, so again, it wasn't because of what they were gonna do or what they had done. Why did Jesus heal them? Because of God's mercy. It's all about mercy. We see this very clearly. You're in Luke, turn to Luke chapter 6. We see this with salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, which we've looked at that record more than once. It says that you were born dead in trespasses and sins without, you know, we lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in time past, in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then this great verse says, but God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. God being rich in mercy. The only reason you're saved and I'm saved is because of his mercy. Not because we deserve to be saved, and not because of what we're going to do after we're being saved. It's because of God's mercy and God's grace. It would make sense to live in accordance with the will of God afterwards. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 31, it says, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same among you. I mean, that's what everybody does, but we're to be different. We're to be much different, and here's the difference. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is grateful or kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I think it's vital for us to be merciful to other people in light of the mercy that has been extended to us. Dead in trespasses and sin, walking according to the course of this world, indulging in the desires of the lust in the flesh, and yet God, being great in his mercy, saved us. And we need to always remember that. We didn't deserve it, nor does the person that needs your help. You want to be like your Father. You want to love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. I think these verses in Nehemiah about Israel, Nehemiah recounting the history of Israel, they refused to listen, this is when they came out of Egypt, and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Even when they made themselves a calf of molten metal and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt," and committed great blasphemies, you, in your great compassion, again, that's that mercy or compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness. However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. Nevertheless, in your great compassion, you did not make an end of them or forsake them. For you are a gracious and a compassionate God. Indeed, history of Israel shows us how merciful, how compassionate our God is. And he's saying to us, I want you to be like me, as Jesus was. And I would go to Psalm 103. I would put before you that with all of the Beatitudes, when we've talked about humility and mourning and meekness and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, with all of these Beatitudes, it isn't wise to go outside of the Bible to get your definition of what they are. It's within the Scripture, especially looking at the life of Jesus, that we get an understanding of what these Beatitudes are. Like, for what I mean is, if you looked up in the dictionary what the word humble means, it would be similar, but not near what you would see if you're looking at the life of Jesus. He was the epitome of humility. And when you look up the word mercy, I gave you the definition of in the dictionary. But if you really want to see what mercy is like, study the life of Jesus. You see it in this man, how merciful he was, and emulate him. In Psalm 103, it says in verse 1, "Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yahweh performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel." Verse 8, "Yahweh is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness." And again, the word compassionate in some translations is translated merciful. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. "He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." We'd have a lot of rewards there, huh? Verse 11, "He, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I mean, we all, if we've been around for any length of time and have any understanding of the Scriptures, we know the mercy of God. We know the compassion of God and the times, the multiple times he's forgiven us and has not forsaken us and has been so good to us. We need to hold that in our hearts so that we will be the same in dealing with other people. You know, the word blessed that's used in the Beatitude, blessed are the, you know, the humble, blessed and so on, where it says blessed are the merciful. The word blessed refers to a state of spiritual well-being and divine favor. It's a state of spiritual well-being and divine favor. It also implies happiness. Things are right in our lives when we're merciful to other people, when we really care enough to get involved and to want to do what our God has done. That's when life is right. It isn't right for us not to care, not to give, not to share, not to serve. Matthew 5, 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." I don't know about you, but I want to receive mercy on the day of judgment, well, every day of my life. And then James states, James 2, 13, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you are merciful, you will receive mercy. If you are not, if you withhold, if you're without mercy, you will not receive mercy. Well, that's a pretty pointed thing there. Kind of, it's imperative that we be merciful to others, because we all are certainly in need of God's mercy for us. Jesus told a parable that explicitly illustrated this point when Peter asked of him how often he should forgive someone of their offenses. And again, this is a familiar record to us. Peter said, "How often should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus said, "No, not 7 times, but 7 times 70, 490 times. And again, I think that was figurative. He's trying to say to him, every time. Forgiveness is wrapped around. Mercy and forgiveness are connected. And then he gave him that parable about the guy that was forgiven for a lot, but wouldn't forgive the person who owed him for a little. And then talked about that man not receiving mercy because he received mercy, but he did not give mercy. We receive mercy, therefore we should give mercy. And then in your notes, I don't know if I put this in your notes or not, Matthew 25, 31. Well, maybe you want to write that in. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This is a significant section of Scripture that illustrates for us what mercy is from God's point of view. And I would put before you, this follows, Matthew 25 follows Matthew 24, which is talking about the end of the age and Jesus coming back. It says, you know, the essence of what it says in these verses is those who feed the hungry, that gave drink to the thirsty, sheltered the outcast, clothed the naked, and visited those who were sick or in prison, would be shown mercy at the judgment. And those who did not will not receive mercy. Again, you could read this whole section. I'd be great before next week. Galatians chapter 6, if you'd please turn to that. Galatians chapter 6, because there's an important aspect of mercy that we want to keep balance with. Our tendency seems to be extreme one way or the other, we humans, and we don't want to be that way. We want to be merciful, but being merciful isn't always the wisest thing to do. Let me say it this way. When I taught you on the subject of meekness, being receptive to learning and to growing, I said you have to balance it with wisdom, because there's a lot of false teachers and a lot of false prophets. Now I'm saying to you, when it comes to the subject of mercy, you also have to have it tempered with wisdom. You have to have wisdom regarding your mercy. And I always think of this record when Mimi was shopping in a grocery store, and by the grace of God, I was acting like my leg hurt and I had to sit in the car. My leg really did hurt. I was sitting in the car waiting for her, and I was watching this young man who was out in front of the door where the people would leave the grocery store, and he was begging. You know, he had on a military thing, and you know, he was doing the thing, asking everybody that came out for money. So I sat there and watched this long enough that I finally got up and I went over to the guy. I figured I'd witness to him, and I did. You know, and I heard his whole spiel, and I said, "Well, you know, that's nice," and then I told him about Christ and God, and I gave him $5. And then I got back in the car, and he didn't see me leave or where I went, but I got back in the car, I could still see the guy. He immediately marched over to the liquor store that was connected to the grocery store, because he had $5, he could buy some Boone's Farm wine or something else. And, you know, and I think that's why I'm saying mercy without compassion, or no, have compassion and mercy without wisdom isn't always beneficial to the person. I really didn't help that guy at all, did I? Actually, I enabled him to hurt himself further. In Galatians chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness," or that meekness, gentleness, "each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." That's the law of Christ, that being merciful and compassionate and helping a brother or sister. "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another." Verse 5 says, "Each one will bear his own load." There are burdens that other people have that I'm encouraged to help them with. But there's also burdens that every one of the people I have to carry for themselves. And if I try to carry the burden that you should be carrying for yourself, I'm doing you a disservice. I'm not helping you. You know, I think of the so many verses that are written in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." The one, you know, parents need to discipline their children. If they don't, the children are going to grow up to be not the best. You know, they're going to be undisciplined. They're not going to be able to take care of themselves. So there is this thing of, yes, we want to help people who are in need, but there has to be a balance. And there has to be wisdom. I have a very good friend that just recently fell asleep, who was incredibly generous and merciful and helped so many of us. You know Sam. But Sam had the tendency to give way beyond what he was supposed to do. I'd say, "Sam, you're not helping here. Stop. Well, he asked me, he really needs help. Yeah, he asked you the last time and the time before that. You're not really helping him. Sam couldn't help himself. He was a very loving, loving, giving. And I'd rather err on being giving than not. But I would rather do it the right way, which is with God's wisdom and according to God's standard. So we want to be merciful because we have received mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, according to his great mercy, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Again, God has been so merciful to us. We have the great example of his great example and that of Jesus Christ. And we want to emulate our Father and we want to emulate our Lord and be merciful people, compassionate people. Compassion is so important. You can't keep it, the goodness that God has given to you. You've got to give it out to others. And in doing that, it will solidify it in your own heart and mind. Next, we're going to look at the pure in heart. But before we do that, we're going to take a little break.